Amen. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21. The Bible says, "And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions?" He was looking at everybody that was there that day, and he said, "How long are you going to take to make up your mind who you're going to serve here?" He said, "If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him." And the people answered him not a word. There was an awkward silence that took place. He's the prophet of God. He's standing there all by himself, and he is telling the people some things that they're not too impressed with. He's got nobody amening him. He's got nobody clapping their hands when he's finished speaking. And he says, "How long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord's God, then serve him, but if Baal, then serve him." He said, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one for themselves, and cut it in pieces, lay it on the wood, and put no fire under it, and I'll dress the other bullock, and lay it on the wood, and I'll put no fire under it. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call upon the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, "It is well spoken." They were silent until Elijah mentioned something about fire. He said, "Let the God, whichever God answers us today by fire, that's going to be the God that we'll serve, all right?" And everybody says, "Hey, listen, if you're talking about a big barbecue here, I'm in. If you're talking about answering by fire, I'm in. Whichever God answers by fire, we will serve." Amen. I just want to preach to you for a while this morning. Where's the fire? Where's the fire? One of the greatest displays of the power of God is found in this particular scripture that we've just read. What I find kind of interesting about it is you have a solitary man that is facing what the Bible tells us is 450 false prophets. There's a lot of, I wouldn't want to take on by myself the people that are in this room. And so can you imagine that he's got 450 men, prophets, that are proclaiming that Baal is the ultimate God. Not only that, but he's got no one to side with him that's there that day. When he speaks, nobody says amen. Nobody claps. Nobody supports him. They just all fall silent. But I want you to understand something today that's not necessarily a part of this message. And that is this. You may very well be at your most powerful, pivotal moment in life when you're standing all by yourself, just you and God. You don't have to have an audience. You don't have to have a crowd. You don't have to have any support. Sometimes our greatest hindrance is that we're depending on an amen corner to see us through. Sometimes our greatest problem is that we're depending on being able to write a check out that's big enough to cover the expense. But can I tell you this much today? Amen. There are times in your life where you're not going to have enough money. There's times in your life where you're not going to have anybody patting you on the back telling you keep on going, you can do it. There's going to be some times in your life where you're going to find yourself standing all alone, but the reality of it is you are not by yourself, because God will be there with you, and you can fight every battle, and you can come out of every circumstance victorious through Jesus Christ. Yeah. Elijah has no one, no follower. Elisha's not standing in his shadow somewhere, amen, waiting for his mantle to come. And so Elijah is there on top of that mountain, facing a numerous amount of enemy with no support. And he makes a statement, and he says, "Let the God that answers by fire, let him be God." Brother, when you make a statement like that, you better have the goods to back it up. It's put up or shut up time. But there was a steady, quiet confidence that Elijah had that came from a relationship built on past experience. It wasn't his first rodeo. Amen. He had not come up against troubles before and watched God fail him. He had watched God succeed. And so here he was. It wasn't a boastful brag about, look who I am. Look at this spiritual, supernatural giant that I am. He said, no. He said, let the God that answers by fire, let him be God. It wasn't some hopeful boast. It was a confident word. He looked at them and he said, you do your best to get your gods to answer. And when you're finished, I'll talk to my God, and the God that answers with fire will serve him. And so the prophets of Baal, Elijah was a gentleman. He said, yeah, by all means, you go first. He said, gather the bulls, cut it up in pieces, throw it out there on the wood and began to ask your God to answer you by fire. And so he allows them, and they go throughout the morning time, and they're screaming and they're crying out to their God. And I'm sure at the beginning they had a lot of support, because a lot of the people there were servants of Baal, and they followed the false prophets of Baal, because it was very much a religion of self, they followed after the lust of the flesh. It was something that appealed to those that were carnal and carnally minded. And so they had some support, and they went throughout the morning screaming and crying out, and nothing happened. And the day began to move on. Lunchtime came and it went, and they were still crying and screaming out and praying to Baal, to the point that they began to pick up a different thing that were sharp, and they began to cut their own flesh until they were a bloody mess as they stood there trying to get the attention of their God to answer them with fire. They begged so long, even the bystanders, if you read about it, the bystanders, the people that were onlookers, that were watching the prophets of Baal, they became bored with it, and the Bible says they fell silent. Finally, Elijah said, enough, enough. You've had your turn. It's getting on into the evening time. If he hasn't answered by now, he's probably not going to answer. He said, step out of the way. It's my turn. He said, but before I do this, he said, while we're placing, we've got the bull upon the wood, he said, while I'm doing a little something over here, he said, I want you to get barrels of water, and I want you, just so there's no mistake here, just so there's nobody that can come back and think that I've pulled a fast one on anybody, I want you to go get barrels of water, and I want you to dump it all over the top of the sacrifice. Soak down the bull, soak down the wood, soak down everything around it. And the Bible says that while they were doing that, Elijah went over and he gathered 12 stones representing each tribe of Israel, and he prepared an altar before the Lord. The Bible says that they put so much water on the sacrifice and upon the wood that it ran out and ran on down, and everything was soaked. And then Elijah stopped everything. And after he had built an altar, we find in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 37, he says, hear me, O Lord, hear me. Amen. It was not to prove how spiritual he was. It wasn't to prove what kind of that he could win a theological debate. He said, hear me, God, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and thou hast turned their heart back again. The Bible says that it wasn't a long drawn out prayer. It was simply a prayer, a petition. God, hear me today, so that all these people that are standing around, they're running headlong after a false religion that's going to lead them down into the pits of hell. God, I pray that right now that you would hear my prayer, so that their hearts would be turned back to you and that they could be saved. And the Bible said that when he finished that prayer, the fire of the Lord fell and it consumed the sacrifice. It consumed the wood. It consumed the stones. It consumed the dust. It consumed everything until there was absolutely nothing left at all. There's something about the fire that will make a believer out of a non-believer. It'll take someone who's straddling the fence and move them to the right side of the fence. Something about the fire. Where's the fire? That's what he was saying to the prophets of Baal. Where's the fire? But a simple prayer from the right God. the God that is alive today. Our God is not dead. Our God is not in a tomb somewhere. Our God hears our prayers. Our God knows where we're at. Our God is a God that's filled us with His Spirit, but it was more than just His Spirit that He filled us with. Amen. He filled us with the Holy Ghost and fire. Amen. It takes the fire to move people from one side of the fence to the other. It's the fire that will cause the church to grow. Let me fast forward to Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord and in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each and every one of them. Amen. The Bible talks, it goes on to say, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues, and the Spirit gave them the utterance. Now, let me just stop right here and say this. We love to talk about speaking in tongues. We love to talk about the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Oh man, yeah, did you speak in tongues? Woo! And I heard him speak in tongues. I'm not taking anything away from that, because it is the initial evidence of the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Now it goes on beyond that, but that is the initial sign of the infilling of the Holy Ghost. God uses the tongue. We speak in a language that we did not learn. God gives us that language for that initial sign, that initial evidence. Amen. We love to talk about that, but they heard them speak with other tongues in that upper room, and they said, they're all drunk. They're drunk. How is it they're speaking in other tongues? But there was something that they couldn't quite explain there, but they said they tried to explain it away by going to some kind of worldly thought process, and they said, they must be drunk. And that's when he stood up and he said, oh, hey, they might be drunk, but they're not drunk the way that you think that they're drunk. This is something going on right here. And they tried to explain the tongues away, but there was something about the fire that sat upon each and every one of them that turned it into something that was worldly, into something that was supernatural. You couldn't explain the fire. It was the fire that helped them see that something supernatural was taking place. I've come to this conclusion. You don't have to believe it if you don't want to. I've been wrong before, but I'm not. The Holy Ghost is for the church. The fire is for the unbeliever's sake. And let me tell you something. We can sit here all day long, and I got the Holy Ghost, and I speak in tongues, and we can come to the altar of repentance and all that stuff. Can I tell you this much this morning? You may have the Holy Ghost, but if you've lost the fire, something is wrong with you. Spiritually speaking, we've got to have the Holy Ghost and the fire, because the Holy Ghost is for us. But when we catch on fire, friend, the fire brings and draws those that are out in the darkness, those that are out in the cold. It draws them in to see what it is that we have. I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for a Pentecostal church that's lost its fire. I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for a Pentecostal church that's lost its shout and lost its dance. But give me somebody that's on fire, and we can change the world. Where's the fire? I'll tell you where it's at. It's right here, Landmark. It's right here in the midst of this service. The fire is here to draw those that are in the world into a place where the supernatural can take place. I've had the Holy Ghost for 40 years, but God never intended for us to lose the fire that accompanied the infilling. They received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in the upper room. Nobody really... Okay, they're speaking in languages. I don't know how they're doing, but they'd seen magic tricks before. Even Moses threw down his rod and turned into a snake, and the Egyptians said, hey, ain't no big deal. We can do that. And they threw down their rods and their staves, and they turned into snakes. But the problem for them was Moses' rod and staff went over there and ate up, swallowed all their staffs. And when got finished, he picked his up, turned back into a staff, and they had nothing left. There's a lot of things out there. Maybe you've been to churches that have proclaimed to have truth and proclaimed to have spirit. Maybe you've been to churches before where you walked in expecting to feel something and you walked out of there. Let me tell you something. I'll tell you what, this morning, we've got spirit and we have truth. And when you mix those two together, amen, there's nothing that's going to stop us. There's nothing that contain us. Amen. When the church really catches on fire, amen, I won't have to have a bunch of people begging you to go out and witness to people. Amen. You're going to go go out if you're on fire, and you're going to be finding everybody that you can, and you're going to invite them to a church, and we won't have to beg and plead about a revival. Revival will take place when the fire begins to burn in our midst. Yes. Where's the fire? The Holy Ghost gave them the power, but it was the fire that caused it to spread. The Holy Ghost established them in God and who they were in God. It defined them and it set them apart. There was a Holy Spirit that took up residence inside of them and began to transform them into what they were, into what God wanted them to be. Even so much so that many of them gave up their own lives in order to hang on to what they had. You don't have that happening, honey, unless you've got something going on inside of you that's supernatural. If we're ever to grow, it won't be just because we speak in tongues and have the Holy Ghost within us. It'll be because we've caught on fire. There are people sitting in this service today that are here because somebody else is on fire. Somebody else is on fire. They don't just go to the gas station and pump their car full of gas and go about their way. They go to the gas station. It's an opportunity to witness. It's an opportunity to minister. They don't go just down to Walmart and walk around and pick up a loaf of bread and a gallon of milk. No, that's an opportunity to run into somebody who needs to know what the Lord can do for them. But it's not going to happen unless you're on fire. You got to have the fire of the Holy Ghost. It's not going to matter that you spoke in tongues at church. It ain't going to matter that you live for God at church. It's going to take the fire to get you out into the world, amen, and begin to make a difference in somebody else's life. They don't care if you've got the Holy Ghost, but they care when you're on fire. Yeah. You build a fire in a fireplace, you don't have to light every log. You can throw five or six logs in there. You don't have to have a match for every log. You just get a little fire going underneath that one. It's going to spread to the others. If they're touching, it's going to spread. I got a feeling we got some embers in this church. Well, they're going to make fun of me. People don't understand me. Let me tell you something. I'm so glad to have you a part of this church. You're dangerous. Man, dangerous. You're like, oh, I know. I almost got run over by him one day. And that ain't the danger I'm talking about. I almost got smacked by him one day. No, that ain't the danger I'm talking about. He's not dangerous to us. Oh, you may get a toe stepped on because we don't have enough room for you to really run. This is the danger zone right here. And look where he sticks his wife. She's sitting right there because, honey, if I run over anybody and fall into anybody's lap, I want it to be yours. He's a smart man. Put his wife right there at the corner. I've seen him take off. He's not any danger to us. I'll tell you who he's a danger to. He's a danger to the adversary of your soul. Give me 10 more Glenn Bishop, amen, and we can change the world. Give me 15 more Brother Bernays, amen. Give me another Brother Price. Give me some worshipers. Give me some people that are on fire. Give me a Charlie Jones who just won't shut up about Jesus because he's on fire with the Holy Ghost, and we can change our surroundings, but only when we're on fire. Oh, somebody clap your hands to the Lord. It's not enough just for me to go to heaven. I want somebody else to go with me. It's not just enough for me to have a good time at church. I want to take somebody else with me. But for them to catch on fire, I've got to be the one that starts it. They can never catch what I don't have. Brother Rice, you're 50 years old. You're going to have a heart attack preaching like that. You may be right. Feel like I might be ready to collapse right now. But if they wheel me out on a gurney, they're going to wheel me out of this place with a smile because I'm going to go down shouting. I'm not going to go down, amen, without victory. If I live to be 80, 85 years old, if my body gives up on me, whatever part of me that moves, if I'm paralyzed with everything but my eyeballs, the only thing that works on me is my eyeballs. I'm just going to shake my eyeballs back and forth in worship to God. I'll do whatever I got to do, but there's no devil in hell is going to put out the fire that God has put in. Amen. Amen. God had done something in me and he set me on fire and I refuse. I refuse to be put out. The day I fell for that little brunette, 19 years old, I may have still been 18 at the time. I can't remember. 18 or 19, too. I was 18. All right. If I was 19, it wouldn't have mattered. I still fell for her. I was working out on the farm, and I'd be on the tractor, and I had one picture of her. We didn't have smartphones back then. I couldn't text her. The cordless phone, you know, can you imagine me out there, that big old cordless phone on the tractor trying to talk to, that's the way it would have been now. We'd have been Facebooking and instant messaging and texting back and forth but all I could do was, that was our text message back then. Pull my wallet out and pull that picture out, ride down on the tractor down the field, making crooked furrows, you know, looking at her picture. I was in love, and my grandfather, he was telling me, he said, boy, you got to get your mind off of her. You know, even making fun, he'd laugh. He said, look at that furrow. Look how crooked that is. You know, what happened to the grease gun? He never let me get off with losing the one grease gun. We had 50 grease guns hanging up on the wall, but I lost one day, and he said, you got your mind on that girl again? And I said, well, yeah, you're probably right, Grandpa. Yeah, she's about all I can think about. I was made fun of. I lost friends when I began, but I didn't matter. All that I cared about was getting enough money to put a little gas in my gas tank, driving up to Belleville so I could be in her presence again. When you fall in love with God and you're on fire for God and He is all that matters to you, it won't matter what people at school say about you. It won't matter what your co-workers say about you. It won't matter what the world says about you. The only thing that's going to matter to you is being in His presence and being on fire for Him. Yeah. I just had to see her. The picture only lasted so long. I mean, the picture was beautiful, but it was not like holding her hand. It wasn't like hearing the sound of her voice. You see, I had a feeling on the inside of me that wouldn't go away. There was something that was drawing me. Something I would put every last dime I had into that car, and I would stay until the very last minute before I was going to get myself in all kinds of hot water with my dad. He finally told me, he said, son, next time you're 15 minutes late or you're 1 minute late, he said, you lose an hour. Your curfew goes from 11 o'clock to 10 o'clock. So you'd have thought I drove back and left a little sooner to get home, right? I got to get home on time. No, I just drove faster to get home. That's all I did. I turned an hour and 5 minute drive into a 40 minute drive one night. My dad probably would have killed me had he known I was running that car that fast down the highway. I just had to spend every moment I could because of the fire that was burning on the inside. When's the last time you felt that way about God? When's the last time you couldn't wait just to talk to Him again? Just to feel His presence when you say the name Jesus and you feel that presence come all over you. Maybe you've never felt it before and you're saying, I want to know what that's all about. Let me tell you, this will change your life. This will change your life. Would you stand with me today? I love our elders. And one of the reasons that I love our elders is the way that they worship. I hope we don't lose that in the next generation. I hope that my grandson shouts the way he sees his grandpa shouts. If I have a grandson that ever blesses me to, the Lord calls them into ministry and they stand behind this pulpit one day, I hope they don't stand here all prim and proper, more worried about the way that they look than the word that they're speaking for the Lord. Amen. I hope they're not scared to get sweaty and preaching and worshiping for God. Amen. I want them to be on fire. When they get the Holy Ghost, I want them to have an understanding that it's not just for them, because Acts 2:38 lets us know that. Amen. It's for you and it's for your children. It's for your children's children. And all those that are far off. But how's it going to get to them unless we get caught on fire? This can't be a drudgery for me. You don't think that five-year-old grandson of mine would pick up on if grandpa's bummed out about going to church? Oh, they see, they know, they hear, but let them see men, let them see women that are passionate about serving God, that are not going to bow to the ways and the whims of the world. Let them see strong people, amen, of faith. Let them see men and women of God. Let them be raised by grandparents and parents that put God first in everything that they do. Let them be raised by people that are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and let them understand that it is because it is the power of God unto salvation, and without it we have no salvation, because Jesus is the way, Jesus is the truth, and Jesus is the life. Praise God. One old preacher, they asked, how do you draw such crowds? He'd go out and preach, man, he was a fireball. He was all over the place. They said one time he climbed up a 30-foot pole, shimmied up a pole, and he preached from on top of that pole. He was doing all kinds of crazy stuff for God. And they said, how is it that you draw such crowds? He said, I just set myself on fire, and people come from all over the place to watch me burn. You may not understand us. They may misunderstand us completely. They may not have a clue to why we are the way that we are. They may come into this place and say, man, that was wild. But I'll tell you one thing. You won't leave this church bored. Right. Not as long as we're on fire. Amen. But the devil wants to put us out. The devil wants to put us out. Do I have any dangerous people in this place today? Do I have any people that's willing to just come and put the devil in his place and let him know, hey, not today. Not today. You're not going to get me today. You may have hurt my heart. You may have come against me. But today, I'm going to put you back where you belong. And that's underneath my feet. Because God is the God of fire. And I serve a God that is a consuming fire. I serve a God that can lick up every part of the sacrifice. But today, it's not a bull. It's not a goat that is the sacrifice. I'm asking you today, are you willing to lay yourself on the altar and let the Lord's fire consume you? Oh, Jesus. As they began to sing, I'm just going to invite you to come.